Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
An old adage goes, "The large print giveth, the fine print taketh away." And what does that mean? In a legal contract, there is a lot of fine print, the wherewith and inasmuch as statements. These are the phrases that have legal teeth, usually the kind that you leave to lawyers. But they are also the ones that determine what really happens. "This product comes with a lifetime guarantee," says the large print on the box. But when you read the fine print, it tells you it is not your lifetime or even the lifetime of the product you are buying. Rather, the lifetime of the cardboard box the product comes in, or something equally as innocuous and meaningless. "That's absolutely misleading and deceptive," you say. You're completely right. But here is the question. Do we at times buy into Christianity without really reading the fine print? We are told that knowing Christ brings financial prosperity, personal happiness, joy, contentment, peace, spiritual excitement. That's the large print. It's quite enticing. But the fine print reads like, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And the greatest among you will be your servant." Jesus also talked about counting the cost before you build a house or start a war. But enamored with what we can gain, we often visualize the house completed, or enjoying the plunders that come from winning the contest, and ignore the sweat and toil of getting to our goal or destination. In the upper room with the cross looming on the horizon, Jesus talked about the fine print with his disciples. He knew they were focused on the large print, which they thought would be to rule the world with Jesus as Lord and Master. He knew they didn't understand. He said something that brings the whole issue into focus when we understand what he meant. Here it is. In the world, he said, you will have tribulation. Stop. Did Jesus really mean tribulation, otherwise translated trouble, hardship, difficulty, distress, and pressure? Exactly. He told the disciples what to expect, so they wouldn't be overwhelmed when they face difficulty. But, and this is the part you must remember, he added, take heart, I have overcome the world. Prefacing what Jesus said about our facing tribulation or difficulty, he told them he was telling them all of this so they would have peace and not be distressed when it happened. Frankly, our generation doesn't much like the fine print. Some 27 times, the King James Version of the text mentions tribulation, but newer translations render it difficulty, trouble, or hardship. True, tribulation conjures images of the book of Revelation and the great distress that confronts the world at the end of the age. But frankly, this is what is confronting men and women today, and not simply those who are refugees having fled their homelands because of war. They are the ones whose marriages are in trouble, whose children are struggling with drugs, whose finances are in shambles, who are denied sleep at night because of personal distress. This is part of living in a broken world. But you must also hold on to the promise of Jesus, which allows you to walk through the darkness. I will never leave you or forsake you, he promised. And he will walk with you through the valley to the door of his eternal home in heaven. Never forget that he warned of difficulty. But then he added, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Saleh with Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living. If you would like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our e-commentary, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. That's info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.